When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into the Saturday Morning Mullers Club. Thanks to Makita XGT Experience, professional cordless power without limits, and Winghouse. The best seats and beers, Shawnee Omrod, always guaranteed. Good morning to wherever you are listening to us, both in Australia and in New Zealand. SEN 1170 in Sydney, SEN 1620 on the Gold Coast. Listening live on the SEN app and on the Mullers Club podcast to us in North Sydney this morning. Remember, you can have your say throughout the show. Call us on 1300 01 1170 or text us in 0457 736 736 or if you're across the ditch, 8833. I said that name before, introducing the coal miner, Shawnee Omrod, who's filling in for my usual co-host, the Missile, whilst he is down in Melbourne for a wedding this weekend. Mate, thanks for joining us, Shawnee.
Pleasure, mate. How good? Footy's back. Yeah, the Missile's gallivanting around down there in Melbourne somewhere, I believe, maybe Mornington or somewhere. It was a nice little coastal wedding, judging by his socials, and he was up to some really good work by the looks of it. As I said, footy is back, absolutely airborne. Five underdogs so far. Scope.
Yeah, so the betting agencies have had a good
weekend. Yeah, I think they're very happy with themselves. Big head wobbles from the bookmakers. Just goes to show, I think we're in for a very, very close comp this year, Scope. We're going to unpack all the footy action so far, aren't we?
Yeah, I really want to get into it with the listeners, you know, specifically people that listen to us on the Saturday mornings compared to the last couple of weeks, because we've had round zero now. We've had round one, well, almost half of round one, with some big games coming up this afternoon and on Sunday. So let us know your thoughts, because we will be chatting to a couple of the biggest stars from those two games. So Thursday night, would probably be one of the bigger dogs of the weekend, underdogs. Yeah. The Canberra Raiders get the job done. Jordan Rapana playing at fullback. The ever versatile Jordan Rapana.
Very versatile.
He was outstanding again. Mm. He's almost, when you think of some of the most underrated players in the competition, the one that it comes to mind straight away for a lot of people is Jared Croker, 300 gamer from Canberra, who retired last year. But geez, Jordan Rapana would have to be up there. Mm. You know, what he does for that team week in, week out, whether he plays centres, wing, fullback, sometimes multiple positions at a time.
Yeah, and wasn't it just the most Raiders performance ever? Like, how does, I don't know how Ricky does it. My DMs have been absolutely jam-packed full of Raiders supporters getting stuck into me. Because I've had a few, let's say, negative sort of opinions of them, of how they're going to go this year. I actually gave them a decent chance in that game.
So did I
didn't think they deserved to be that big of an underdog. Certainly Knights were always going to be favourites, but just such a typical Raiders performance. Ricky had them back to the, it's our backs to the wall sort of stuff, siege mentality. There's no other coach in the game that can embrace that like Ricky.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly probably what you're going to get from the Raiders all year, pound for pound. There's no question that, you know, as far as a, you know, talent wise on that roster, there's probably a decent gap between them and say the top four.
Yep.
But in terms of effort, I don't think anyone really comes close to them. They're unbelievable.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, they completed at 90%. We'll get down to proper breaking down the game, but you've got to proper beat Canberra.
Yeah.
And by that, you've got to play Canberra footy to begin with. And you've got to get in the arm wrestle if you try to be too fancy like Newcastle did. And that's why I really liked the 8.5 start that they had in that game.
Mm.
Probably didn't think they were going to win. They were a chance of winning, but I wasn't as confident. But I really loved the 8.5. So looking forward to chatting to Jordan Rapana about the mindset specifically. Let's ask him about Sticky. Another big performance, undefeated in Craig Bellamy's era. and he could go down and, you know, if Bellamy does indeed finish up at the end of the year, to have that record of undefeated in round one,
we'll ask
Melbourne Storm fullback Ryan Pappenhausen about how they get ready for the game. So really looking forward to chatting to Pappy as well, mate.
Is that 22 now? 22 wins in a row for Belly Oak in round one.
Yep.
That is incredible. An unbelievable record. And I know we do hear about it a lot, so it's probably a little bit overused, but I don't think it can be understated either. That is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's a freak.
The preparation, you always hear about how hard they train down in Melbourne. And I heard Bally speaking about that after the game as well. There's no secret to that success, really. We can ask Pappy about it, but you've got to put in the work in the preseason, and all those stories that you hear about army camps and, you know, back in the day, Bellamy actually running with the team and leading the way in those 5 to 10K runs.
Yeah.
It's evident. I've been a part of one of those historic losses on the other end. Once we had a 20-point lead against Melbourne in 2014.
Really?
We lost Brett Stewart.
Yeah.
At halftime with a hamstring injury, and they come back and got it was roughly 20. It might have been 18 to 20 points we were up against them in round one of 2014, and they ran us down.
Yeah.
So, I've been on the other end of that. So I'm really intrigued to see what Ryan Pappenhausen has to say on not only that record, but last night's wins. We've got all our regular segments. We'll pick through two matches from last night. We'll look ahead to the rest of round one. We've got week in review where we'll go through all the biggest stories in the NRL, obviously. We're going to have a dig, as we do every weekend here on the Mowers. We're going to do yourself a favour, so we'll give you something that we've been watching throughout the week as well.
Yep.
And we've got a new segment, a Winger Appreciation Assembly, thanks to Winghouse.
I love this. This could be my new favourite segment, I think.
Yeah, so I'm with you, mate. I think, the Wingers, historically, from rugby league players, have been the most underappreciated players.
They're the whipping boys, aren't they?
They are, mate. Yep. They are. So there's an Greg Bird, an ex-teammate of mine at Catalan, said we should get rid of wingers and just bring the field in an extra 5 metres. So we could be playing like in Vegas, mate, like around zero. But in this day and age, it's not the case.
No, it's not.
What the wingers get through and how wingers can change the momentum of games, not only by scoring tries, but also in yardage.
They're some of the biggest blokes on teams now. We're talking about the Storm lads off air before, not only just size-wise, but you look at Will Borbrick, he would have to be what, 100 and, what would he weigh in it?
He'd be 105. At least 105, potentially, like on a good day, 110.
Yeah.
But, and still, strong, powerful. Same as Xavier Coates on the other side, you mentioned. And you're going up to against two guys who are completely different players, got their own strengths.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they don't really get targeted too much in the air. And Melbourne sort of kept at that. So, we'll break that down a little bit more as we go on. But looking forward to that segment as well. But let's get into it, mate. We've talked a lot about... Oh, we've mentioned a few of the games this weekend.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on Vegas last weekend? Let's get into a little bit of the Vegas chat because we haven't had a chance to chat about it on the Mowers.
So the two of us clearly weren't over there, and we've got to break that down, Scope. How do we let that go through to the keeper, and how do we make sure that we're definitely there next year? Everything, and I know there's been a fair bit of noise around the sort of the hard metrics, I suppose you'd call them, around TV numbers in the States and maybe some betting revenue and stuff, probably not being as big as maybe what a lot of people were expecting. But it was the first crack over there. Like, this is clearly a long-term play from the NRL. They're locked into 5 years. And I tell you what, looking from afar, I've said this multiple times to everyone that I talk to about Vegas, I've never had FOMO like it. Like, sitting on the couch at home in that 90-minute pregame, and hats off to all the broadcasters who are over there, Fox and Nine, because they built it up. You could actually get a sense through the TV screens just how big it was. Two cracking games of footy, two really different games of footy. One was really high scoring, fast paced. The other one, a bit more of a dour affair between probably two of the heavyweights of the comp, but two cracking games. From afar, how can you say it wasn't a success? And I think it's the perfect platform to then build on it for the next 3, 4, 5 years. And that's the important point. We can't just pack our bags, come home, let it sleep for 11 months and go back next year. You actually have to keep chipping away at it, promoting the game over there in that space. And then next year is going to be even bigger and better.
Yeah, for sure. I train with Braith and Asa. We trained throughout the week and I was having a chat to him. He got back on, I think Tuesday. Same with my co-host, Willie Mason, who had a ball. So if you're watching any of our socials over the time, I'm the same as you, mate. I think in the build-up, I didn't really take it as seriously. I think because it was such a new endeavor, I was, maybe a little bit skeptical of how it was going to be perceived. Once we started hearing the numbers, in particular, leading into it, I was like, I'm not all that excited about it. And then the boys left. once the boys left and arrived and got over there on the first night, and they'll text me and tell me how good it was. And then also Braith and Asta echoing that a couple of days later when he got back. He just reckons it's going to get bigger and bigger, yep. And I agree. I think there's going to be a lot of people now dependent on what teams go over, which is another
topic.
And that's
been a big talking point the last few days as well.
Yeah, depending on what teams go over, I reckon a lot of people are going to be maybe putting some pennies aside and getting ready for next year, because I thought it was a great success. Mm. The numbers are a little bit underwhelming, but that's to be expected early on.
Yep.
Once you compare them, obviously, to some of the numbers that were coming out about with regards to the college ball over there, which is huge.
Mm.
It wasn't all that as bad as probably people were making out.
I think, it's all relative to what is normal expectation for a sport that is already airborne over there.
Mm.
And we are obviously completely foreign to them. But yeah, as I said, from afar, it looked unbelievable. And there was a moment for me during the week where the FOMO just really hit fever pitch. And I think it was Brace, he might have posted it on Instagram, was when they all the boys lobbed up the pointy end of the plane, obviously.
Yeah.
And there was Fletch, there was Hindy, there was Matty Johns, James Graham was there. That must have been the best flight over there. When you're all fresh, you're going to Vegas, there's a few lunatics involved there as well. I reckon there might have been a few gin and tonics had on that flight
over. Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure there was probably some chat on the run home from Fletch, but I can definitely say that Brace said that first morning that they arrived, they had a decent crack and they gave it a good nudge on the first night, because then a lot of them would have had commitments after that.
But, yeah, first night fever.
Can guarantee that first night fever.
It's killed a lot of blokes before.
Just before we move off it, mate, who was the most impressive team over there, Manly or Sydney Roosters for you?
Probably the Chooks, I think. Yeah. I think there was a lot of support. A lot of people were tipping Manly to really keep that one close. And I think probably on the flip side, I'd say you'd probably say that the Souths were more disappointing rather than Manly were impressive, if that sort of makes sense. A lot of people expecting big things from the Bunnies this year. And if you walk away from that, I don't know, it's pretty hard to get excited. To be fair, there was a few times, and they did lead the game for a bit as well. Their left edge did look pretty hot in moments. So I think they can probably write the ship. But for me, the Roosters really stamped their authority on the comp, I think, even though it was only one game. And Teddy, isn't he back?
Yeah, how good was that to see some of the performances from the fullbacks? I thought both Turbo and Latrell were great for their respective teams. Teddy was outstanding. Walshy was probably a victim of the shorter field that a lot of people were talking about. And then, you know, obviously getting to the other games as well, I thought the fullbacks, one of the fullbacks that we're going to speak to a little bit last night was really good as well. All right, mate, let's get to Friday night. There was big upsets, like we mentioned at the start of the show, by two underdogs. Now 5 from 5. Melbourne kept their perfect round one record under Bellamy intact. And Cronulla went across the ditch and got the job done against the Warriors. So let's get on that game, mate. Again, a team with a lot of expectations, similar to Newcastle Knights, who finished the season so well, similar to the Brisbane Broncos, who went down to the Sydney Roosters, had cracking seasons last year in 2023. But nothing's guaranteed in this competition, mate. And every year, it sounds cliche, but it's a new year.
Yep.
And you've got I feel like it's similar to watching the Cowboys last year. They had such a good year in 2022.
Yeah.
And when you try to start the year the way you finish the year and you don't get back to the 1%, you can get done. And Cronulla were really good getting the job done against the Warriors.
And that's what I was pretty keen on New Zealand going into this game. And purely a big factor was out of Andrew Webb. So I thought if there was a coach that was going to get them back to those 1%ers, back to basics from the get-go, I thought it would be him. But hats off to, and Fitzy's another one. He's a little bit like, sort of the same mold as Sticky. I think he's got that real defensive sort of mentality first. And you go through the stats in that game, you wouldn't have given the Sharkies any hope at all. But I think you've probably got a glimpse of what to expect from the Sharkies there. They're not going to beat themselves. You actually have to go and beat them. And I don't think the Warriors did that. Had plenty of ball, plenty of chances, but couldn't do it.
Our man Gibbo over there, he loves a live bet, Gibbo. I'll bring you in on this too.
G'day, boys. Morning.
Forgot you're in over there, Gibbo.
Oh, yeah, well, 19 minutes first touch. That's sorry, all right,
mate.
Boys.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
Hey, look, that's okay. I can be impact off the bench. Tyron Wishart got the job done there for Melbourne. I can do that.
It's this new, it's the new studio for me. You're too disconnected from me. There's a bit of glass between us. And
yeah, that's all right, boys. Yeah. But, hey, good morning, lads. Yeah, great game last night. I thought the Warriors, in that first 15 minutes, they scored two tries. Luke Metcalf looked amazing. Jackson Ford going short looked great. And I just thought, wow, Cronulla, not top eight this year. They're gonna get blown off the park here. And I think I'll play a bit of audio in a sec, but Fitzy said in his press conference, there was a time where the Warriors had three sets on Cronulla's line, and Cronulla just kept turning him away. And then they just sort of got confident from that. Nico Hines grew into the game. I guess, Scope, that forward pack of the Warriors, they got the roll on early, but guys like Finucane, Jack Williams came on and they just really played strongly in the end, didn't they?
Yeah, they had a really strong forward pack. Fitzy showed his hand early by basically having four middles on the bench.
Yeah.
And that's the style of footy they're going to try to play, just like you mentioned there, Shawnee, about the same sort of mindset that Sticky had. But yeah, I agree. They had so much ball, they probably let a couple slip. They started to feel good. They fell into the trap of 12-0 up after 12 minutes. That's why I was going to speak to you about the live bet, because I know you love them, Gibbo.
Yeah.
I'd imagine that the Sharks would have been, at that time, playing roughly $10.
Something like that,
to get back in the game. Yep. So a great performance from Cronulla, who I did have my doubts on, and I still am a little bit wary of the Sharks, but considering the big knock on them, not being able to beat top four teams. Now, they've beaten the top four team from last year, so realistically, they still haven't beaten a top four team this year, but it's great signs.
Boys, I will play a bit of audio here. This is from Craig Fitzgibbon on the Sharks' performance last night in the press, and I'll ask a question off the back of it.
We missed a kick, that's for sure, physically. We just sort of, for whatever reason, we obviously wasn't intentional, but they got the jump on us there, but I knew after we were down 12-0, we had, I think, three sets on our trial line where I thought, oh, they're starting to rip in here. They're starting to get some energy back and starting to find our way. It was almost like we had to blow the cobwebs out or something. And then we just kept turning up. So a long way to go in the season, and we can better. But I haven't – the display of heart and effort, it was awesome. Like that was one of our most special wins, I think.
Scope, can I ask you, you know, as a former player, how does a team miss the jump? What's in the mindset of a team just getting, you know, completely blown off the park in the first 10 minutes, but then to turn that around? What's happening there, and how does that happen?
I'll put it down to, I just think across the board, Warriors are a better outfit than the Cronulla. Now, Cronulla got the job done, and there's not much between NRL teams at this level. Mm. A few moments in the game, or I'll highlight specifically Jackson Ford. When they were really dominating, Jackson Ford turned it over two or three times. I think there was one wayward Roger Tuivasa-Sheck offload that went to the deck, which Cronulla dove on.
Mm.
And they could have really gone on with that performance. I think the Warriors would have been really hard to beat if they'd, you know, at least put one more back on. But credit to Cronulla. You got to hang in there.
Yep.
And you know, Jackson Ford didn't drop those balls on purpose. It's because, you know, in particular, I thought Nico Hines, which was a big, you know, a thing that I was worried about with the Sharks from last year was their edge defense.
Yep.
Specifically, you know, sort of Matt Moylan was out there on the left. Mm-hmm. Braden Trindle was a lot better in this game than he was, you know, sort of last year and in the Indigenous game. And Nico Hines is really good defensively, because you don't worry about Nico being creative, getting his hands on the ball, running, controlling the team. It's just been their edge defense that's let them down, and they were really good in big moments.
And there's probably that would be one of the hardest atmospheres to overcome when the Warriors are up and about 12-0 after, I think they were going with the clock, weren't they? It was 12-0 after 12 minutes or thereabouts. You're on a knife's edge there. If they get one more and that crowd is really up and about, that is almost impossible to come back from. So, yeah, I think, you know, as I said before, I think we saw exactly what we're going to get from the Sharkies. They're probably one of the easiest teams to sort of get a read on, because they're not the best and they're by far not the worst. They're smack bang somewhere in the middle, but you're going to have to beat them. I don't think they do it themselves.
Yeah, for sure. When you look at their roster, I was, you know, looking at when we were breaking down some of the predictions or having our predictions here on the Mullers, and we're going through the teams. One thing I try to do this year by assessing the teams is sort of look at their core positions.
Yep.
And when you look at the core positions of the Cronulla Sharks, Will Kennedy, mid-range fullback.
Yep.
Nico Hines is obviously a standout. You'd argue he's top four, top five
yep.
halves in the competition right now. Braden Trindle, yet to be determined. And a key position, which I think is really important in this day and age now, is a premier front rower.
Mm.
And if you can have two of them,
yep.
Then you set really well. Same thing, you know, middle of the pack or just below middle of the pack with yep. Royce Hunt and Oregon Kafusi.
And we're without Hamlin Ueli last night as well.
Yes.
So, like, you throw that in the mix as well. This is it's a massive victory. I know it's only round one, but I think you got it. Yeah, as I keep saying, you've got a real view of what to expect from the Sharkies.
Yeah, for sure. There are some other big comebacks. This is in the other sports, AFL. Carlton Blues come back from 47 points to down the Brisbane Lions, who played in the grand final as well last year, Gibbo. So that was a big one in the AFL.
A huge one. Harry Mackay kicked a goal with a minute or so to go to get the W there for the Carlton Blues. Yeah,
I know you're a big Harry Mackay man as well, Gibbo. You've been raving about him to me. Yeah,
big Charlie Curnow as well, big man from Carlton. Look, I don't mind the Carlton Blues, and it was good to see them get it done. But the AFL, yeah, they've launched their season outside of traditional markets in Melbourne. So we saw the Swans beat the D's on Friday. Brisbane lost last night up in Brizzy. The Giants, I think they played today against the Pies.
Yep.
That'd be the one. And then Gold Coast Suns with Dimmer. They'll kick off their season later.
That's
a
big
weekend.
Grudge match, isn't it, with the old coach against his old side, isn't it?
Richmond Tigers, that'll be. Yeah,
yep.
So look, can't wait for that scope. But there was a couple of other games last night as well. I think it was a mixed night for the Super Rugby teams. The Tars went down close to the Highlanders. I was also watching that.
Can we just touch on your tip from last week?
Yeah.
Gibbo? The Tars, he put them up, $9.50 they were, got the W.
Yeah, so I did say to Shawnee in the office this week, I said, oh, can I claim a tip if I didn't get on, but I tipped it on air?
Nah.
I can't?
You got to get on.
Well, Shawnee did say I could, so I sort
what do you,
of
what
do
you? That. Yeah, Shawnee, surely you got to have a couple of bucks on it.
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, are you talking about the double that you... Because you put up
no.
a big double as well. You're just talking about the Tars.
Yeah.
You don't want to claim the Black Cap ones.
No.
Black Caps because they didn't get the job
yeah,
done.
Yeah.
So you can't...
Okay. You can't have a foot in each camp.
Yeah, if you remember the cross, Justin, because you were there with
correct.
Barney, and I had said, because I made a comment about Super Rugby, and Sean sort of laughed and said, oh, has that started? You know, and I said, no longer need to ask, he's back. Can the
Which is the proper response to whenever anyone brings up Super Rugby. You sort of have a bit of a chuckle.
Hey, see that? I see that S behind you there, mate. What does that stand for? It's not salacious.
Not
it's
Super
not
Rugby.
Scandal. It's sport.
No, I love
it's
your
Super
passion
rugby
for it.
Sport. Thank you very much. So Tars lost to the Highlanders. And the Rebels, who I think they're going to get the arse at the end of this year, they actually beat Moana Pacifica over
New
Zealand. So.
Big result. I want the listeners or, you know, with the text us in now on 0457367366. We're about to go to a break. Let us know, does Gibbo get credit for tipping it on the show but not backing it himself? This is the Mullers Club. Welcome back to the Mullers Club. Thanks to Makita XGT. Experience professional cordless power without limits and Winghouse. The best seats and beers always guaranteed. I'm Justin Horro, joined by Sean Ormerod this morning. Got a few texts coming through. It's a bit of a mixed bag. Got the first one from Josh, and this is with regards to Gibbo giving us some mail last week on the Tars. He gets credit from anyone who heard it and jumped on. Simple as that. That's from Josh. And then we got this one from Brett. We want some more mail, Gibbo. Gibbo, you are a pelican. No outlay, no credit, but give you a second chance. Give us something for the rest of the weekend. Cheers, Brett from Penrith. So, Gibbo, I'm going to let you work on... Have you got something right now or you want to work on that
as we get
through the show?
What I'll do for you, Scope, because I love your hustle, Tristan Merlihan will come on in the last hour.
Oh,
we like to do our multi. What
okay.
I might do for you there, Brett, your pelican, I'll give you a little tip.
There we go. So you've got to stay on and listen to the rest of the show.
There's another theme, though, appearing in the text here, Scope, and a few of them are directed at me.
Yeah, let's get to this one from Tony, because his text is, how's the milk tasting, Raider hater? And I guess that's directed at you, Shawnee.
It is, yeah. Look, the milk's tasting actually pretty average, because I'm on almond milk these days, and it's just not as good as the OG cow stuff. No, the milk's tasting all right. As I said before, I've had a few blokes really chiming in out wide on Instagram and Twitter getting stuck into me. And isn't it just great to have footy back? They're all off the bit. But as I said to in one of my replies to them, that, you know, wooden spoons aren't one in March. So let's just pump the brakes a bit. But no, hats off to the Raiders. I love them deep down, boys.
Speaking of wooden spoons, we got this text from finishing in 197. Morning, boys. It looks like the Tigers may have a chance this year after all. Newcastle could be the new front runners for the spoon, Sean the Tiger.
That's a big call. I'm not willing to throw the Knights out. Just after one game. It's funny, don't we go, through all through these trial matches and we're like, no, we don't read into trial form. But then as soon as round one ticks over and it's one game, the smallest sample size you can get, and people are willing just to put lines through teams. Now, I'm not doing that with the Knights. But again, a little bit probably like the Sharkies, they're somewhere in this glut of maybe 10 teams, and there is an absolute bees you-know-what between them. And yeah. I think as a spectacle, and maybe from a punting perspective, if you don't mind a little flutter, I think we're going to see, well, the theme has been this weekend, a lot of underdogs. I think that's going to continue for a long time because the comps are so close.
Yeah, for sure. And here's another one from Brett from Penrith. He's doubled up. Morning, lads. When was the last time we saw five first roughies of the round get up? Cheers, Brett from Penrith.
Mm.
Can you remember five roughies getting up? I know it's happened. I feel like it's happened at parts of the season before where you maybe go through an origin period and four to five roughies get the job done through the middle part of the season when a few players are out, but to start the season when everyone's fresh.
Mm.
Shawnee, surely you could dip into that statistical computer of yours over there.
Yeah, I have got the computer here, so I'm under the pump to look and sound smart, which I'm failing at both.
We'll find that out later.
No, I would have. I'm sure it's, in fact, I'm certain it's happened, but and there's some big prices in there. Obviously, the Raiders being the pick of the bunch. So, mate, there you go. If anyone's alive in the tipping, or if anyone's had a multi and they're still alive, let us know because you're absolutely on fire.
How you will say this? I've got this last text here and then we'll get some audio from Gibbo in a bit. This one's from Para Powerball. Let's hope the trend of the underdogs winning does not keep going. Go Para, the Parramatta Powerball. As a Bulldogs fan, yeah. Shawnee, going into this game, how do you feel about the trend with five underdogs getting up, and do you think your dogs can get the job done?
Well, it certainly hasn't changed my level of nervousness about this game. Gibbo, I was saying to you during the week, I think we're going to learn a lot about one of these teams, but for the life of me, I can't figure out which one it's going to be. I don't mind the look of, I thought Parramatta were a little bit undervalued by a few people long term to make the eight and to go deep. I think they're only in for like their expectation from the bookies was about 11 and a half wins, which I thought was a little bit skinny. And the Bulldogs, there's a sense, and I'm not sure if I'm just overthinking it, but there's a real sense for me that they're already going into this game, and I know it's round one, under immense pressure.
All right, well, let's take a break now. Coming back after the break, we'll break down Storm versus Panther. Welcome back to the Mullers Club. Thanks to Makita XGT. Experience professional cordless power without limits and Winghouse. The best seats and beers always guaranteed. Shawnee Omorod, a.k.a. the Coal Miner. I'm Justin Horror, a.k.a. the Scope. We've mentioned it a little bit at the start of the show, but let's get into breaking down the game properly. Not as many points to break down because the Storm, in a real defensive battle, win 8-0 against the Panthers, and Craig Bellamy's unbelievable record, which we've touched on again, remains intact. How do Melbourne Storm continue to just get this done in round one?
Yeah, I don't know. And it's probably the key question I want to ask little Pappy when he comes on later. Like, what does he do that's different to everyone else just to be able to get them up and firing? Maybe not in attack, but we spoke about just teams going back to basics. And if you do those 1%ers right in round one, then, and we've seen in this round, you've got a massive chance of getting the victory. Not a lot of points in the game. That would be one of the great understatements. 8-0, obviously. And again, only round one. But the Panthers, even last year, struggled a little bit in attack. It did have its, did look a little bit clunky at times, but they always had the ability to just to rely on their defence. Again, they've only conceded 8 points here, so that's certainly intact as well. But attacking wise, maybe a few little issues, but I'm sure that'll come with time.
Yeah, it looked a little bit wet and slippery out there on the field for sure. The guy we're going to talk to a little bit later on thought Ryan Pappenhausen, in particular, that weapon and the new rule change
with the
dropouts really suited the Melbourne Storm.
Yep.
Ryan Pappenhausen went 3 from 3.
Yep.
There was one of them where he just got it off in the nick of time, and Xavier Coates comes screaming
contentious
through.
One, because I'm sure I heard that buzzer go before he dropped that footy.
And it's one of those ones where he takes it mid-flight with the touch judge having to judge whether he catches it before or after the line. I think the Penrith players were sort of standing around waiting for a penalty because I think they assumed that he grabbed it too early.
Mm.
So great skill, though, from Pappy to get that done. On the Penrith Panthers, Taylor May, he's the new, probably the biggest change from the team last year, was Stephen Crichton now playing for your Bulldogs later this afternoon. How do you see Taylor May filling in for the centres for the rest of the year?
Thought he had a great game, particularly defensively, which was probably one question mark. We know how good Critter was defensively for the Panthers. And then the Wigan Warriors actually cashed in a couple of times in the World Club Challenge on that edge. May might have missed a couple of tackles, and that was probably the one query. But, big shoes to fill, obviously. But, boy, he looked pretty comfortable there.
Yeah, he did look good. And Gibbo, you got some audio for us from the game?
Yeah, I do. Panthers coach Ivan Cleary spoke after the game, specifically to the loss against Melbourne.
It's not a great performance. We looked all right, actually, the first half with the ball, but then we just kept dropping it and various other ways. We just couldn't maintain any sort of pressure. They had our best period just before the no try to Sony Luke, and then they scored in the next set, and then I think 8-0 down, and it took a while to get some opportunities, and then at the end we just panicked, and well, I don't know if we panicked, but we just we were all over the shop, really. So yeah, it wasn't much of a game.
Two things out of that. First thing's just a quick one. Sony Luke, try or no try?
No try.
I'm okay with no try. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then second of all, Panthers attack in that second half, especially they had so much ball attacking Melbourne's line. Scope, Shawnee, what went wrong?
So they've got this strategy. I'll throw to you with this, Shawnee. It's obviously worked. They've won 3 premierships in a row, but with the, I would have seen Penrith implement this maybe the start of last year. They've done it for a while. They play quite a negative style of footy, and what I mean by that is when you've got the best halfback in the world, what they prevent opposition teams from doing and what they ideally are trying to do is back their defense, is they very rarely want to give away 6-7 tackle sets. And if you were watching the World Club Challenge game when they played Wigan, rather than putting in a nice little kick to either score a try or get a repeat set, they often run the ball on the last. The reason they try to do that is they back the defense, and they did get a few errors from Melbourne getting out of yardage right in the last 20, 25 minutes, but they couldn't quite capitalize on it.
Yeah.
And that'll come as the year goes on. But I just think for me, and Ivan knows his son better than anyone, it's quite a negative style of footy to play when I feel like you've got the best player in the world, as your skipper in 7.
Yeah, it's a funny one. Clearly there, and who are we to really question the fact they won 3 in a row? It's obviously working in some way, and their defence has been the best defence that I've ever seen in my time, really following the game. So, it's the mentality is, well, if you're gonna beat us, you're gonna have to go 95 or 100 metres every time. We're not gonna give you any leg up. And particularly, it's an interesting strategy now, because with the new rule of not giving away the penalty, it's basically a 50-50 now whether you get the ball back or not. Even if you do get that,
That's a good point.
Even if you do force that dropout, so it might even lead them to play that more negative style of play, as you call it, this year.
Let us know on the text line 0457 736 736. Let us know on the Sonny Luke try. I'm happy with no try. I hate rules that have grey area.
Yep.
And despite, I think Jerome Hughes made the wrong decision defensively. When you take away grey in big moments, I think a lot of people are going to be happy with that being clear cut and understanding that that is a no try.
I think in Ivan's press conference, he said, well, how can it be obstruction? I think he said if someone needs to be obstructed for it to be an obstruction. But I don't think a player needs to be hit and, is on his backside for it to be a penalty. because that was clear as day. Otherwise, you know, what do we get? How many blokes do you send up and you're allowed to run behind them if you don't touch anyone?
Correct.
Is it play on?
Yeah. Like, Jerome Hughes clearly made the wrong move, but he was impeded to make a second decision and correct his own mistake. Yeah.
And even if it's just a vision thing, if he's got the bloke coming across in front of his vision, that's huge.
And I still don't think he would have got there, but no. I'm massive on getting rid of grey area. And for me, that was...
I think the other thing was because it happened so far down the field, and they, you know, they made that break and went probably 40 metres at it. I think that has more weight for people thinking, well, it's just play on. A lot of stuff happened after that play.
Did you see also Sonny Luke and sort of Jerome Law weren't celebrating?
Yeah,
they knew.
Yeah, I actually thought that Luke had concussed himself because it looked like he hit his head because there was no celebration at all. He sort of looked at the ref, but he looked a bit dazed as well.
Yeah,
and I turned to my mate and I'm like, I think he's dropped that because he didn't look confident at all. But they were pretty certain it was going to get called back.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty confident. You've also got some audio from the Melbourne Storm here, Gibbo.
We must have been in our 20 metre zone there. I know it was probably about 15 minutes to go. It was like we were in there for 8 or 10 minutes. You know, it seemed to be, and that's when we had some bodies sort of look like they were like dead set out on their feet. But we just kept finding the way and. It might have been a little bit different if that try they scored, if it had been allowed, but it wasn't. He ran behind his own man. So that would have been a bit deflating if that had happened. But like I say, I really can't remember a time here. I wouldn't say we played poorly, but we just at certain times we just need to settle down a little bit. But like the efforts and the guys just backing each other up, I thought it was tremendous. So like I say, we're really happy. They're a tough side to beat, and they probably a little bit flat after coming back from England, all that travel. But I still thought they play reasonably well, and I thought we defended unbelievably. So all good.
That's what makes him a great coach, right?
I was just going to say, that's the beauty of these two teams and why these two teams are going to be firmly entrenched in the top four. They weren't great by at all, really.
28 errors in the game.
Offensively.
And I know it's round one, so that you're going to be a little bit scratchy, but I think it was 14 apiece. And some of them were really sort of basic errors, which you just don't see from the Melbourne Storm and particularly the Panthers, but both defensively. I don't know how many times we've said it's only round one, clearly, but... I think we've certainly got to look at what a prelim or a grand final might look like because they are two proper heavyweights and the scramble defence of the Storm is just so good.
You spoke about how good Tiny May was and Isaac Tungo, but I think the Melbourne Storm centres were unbelievable too. They licked a lot of points last year. Justin Olam around, there was tries around him.
Yep.
Whereas Nick Meaney, Bellamy said in the presser, he came to Melbourne with no confidence. He looks like a player with confidence, and Remus Smith too. The centres for Melbourne last night kept turning up, and Xavier Quartez as well. We're going to have the winger appreciation later.
Quartez.
They were unbelievable, Melbourne, and they just kept trucking. You think with Munster and Nelson coming back.
And we haven't even mentioned Munster. Munster wasn't even playing. Like, it's a huge effort.
I reckon, boys, we might be going back to the Roosters versus Melbourne Storm GF.
Don't mind it,
throwing it back.
Don't mind it.
Must be listening to Levels Network too, Gibbo, because Melbourne Storm were my tip to win the competition. I just think when the two teams that were in the grand final that are missing a few players from those teams last year that they had in their best 17 might come back to the pack a touch.
Yep.
Melbourne didn't lose anyone of note. I know Juzzy Olam was a top-tier centre probably a couple of years ago, but with his form last year, a little subtle change actually too. So Remus Smith normally plays on the right. He was actually playing on the left side with Nick Meaney going to the right, which gave Jonah Pezzett, who was filling in for Cam Munster, a little bit more experience playing outside him in Remus Smith. So I wonder if that could be the plan all year round with Remus Smith staying on the left. Or was it purely, because I know coaches do this sometimes when they've got young halves involved, they'll put an experienced player or a bigger body sometimes in around, a la Cooper Johns, the great Cooper Johns, the preseason MVP, when he played in the 7 jersey or 6 filling in for either Munster or Hughes, they'd put in Nelson at that back row for him to for a little bit extra protection.
Well, that's another issue. Like Trent Liero last year played a lot of back row. He was playing in the middle last night. You had Joe Chan, who I think played one game last year, or maybe
he
had played a game. He played
just one game against the Broncos when they had rested all their starters.
And he looked unbelievable last night. And so, look, I think all positive signs.
And no Nelson last night as well. And that was the question mark for me was, can their pack really match it with the likes of the Panthers and the Broncos? And well, they certainly did last night. That was as dour sort of a big forwards game as you'll see, and they more than matched it, and without the biggest bloke that they've got in their pack. So, yeah, they're in for huge things, the Storm.
All right, let's take a break now. Remember, if you want to call or text in, we want to hear from you on 0457 736 or 1300 01 1170.